We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I can't make an accurate prediction, but it is going to be very disturbing. I will guarantee you that, because when you have an outbreak in one part of the country, even though in other parts of the country they're doing well, they are vulnerable. We can't just focus on those areas that are having the surge. It puts the entire country at risk. We are now having 40-plus thousand new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around. And so I am very concerned.
Jor, whatever you do, do not invite Anthony Fauci to your next party.
He's a lot of fun.
I respect the heck out of him, but you think I'm a Debbie Downer. Holy Moses. Jeez.
Speaking of parties, Paul, and I think the content of his quote is extraordinarily important and sad and frightening and all those things. But speaking of parties, I was at a party this weekend and I got a COVID test today.
Did you?
I did. I did. Right before the show, okay, because I've been thinking about this. Handsome husband and I were invited to a party, and we went, and it was supposed to be outside, but it rained, and we went inside.
Right.
And we felt that we didn't properly social distance. We didn't wear masks the whole time. We felt that we did the wrong thing and made bad choices, and I've been feeling terribly guilty about this. And I went and got COVID tested. I reached out to the party host and I said, please, you know, if there was anybody there who had any symptoms or exposed, please let me know. I went and got a COVID test today, and Handsome Husband is going tomorrow. And what I did was, on Dr. Glenn Hansen's advice from Hennepin Healthcare, I did a walk-in. I went downtown to 900 8th Street. I walked in and it was, you know, 20-minute wait, and I got my COVID test. And I took a video.
You took a video. When do you find out the results?
They said 18 hours. By this time tomorrow, I will know the results. And, you know, it's funny. I asked all of those questions that we always ask about tests. And I'm sorry that we're off the Fauci topic, but this definitely is related to what he was saying about testing and about cases on the rise, because we've gotten lax. And, you know, Handsome and Husband and I got lax. We didn't do the right thing this weekend, and I regret not being more cautious. We left early because, you know, we felt uncomfortable. So we left. But I regret going to that party. I do. I feel bad about it, even though I wanted to support my friend and be a human being again. So I said to the doctor, okay, so if I got infected on this day, would it show up in the test? He goes, possibly no. He said it might not show up for 14 days after you feel like you may have had an exposure. So I said, well, could it? He said, yes, of course. If you were infected this weekend, it could absolutely show up now, but it might not. And he said also, you know, Jor, there's false negatives. Nothing is perfect. There is no perfect way to protect yourself against this disease. But he said, look, nobody had been exposed at the party. It's not like I can say that I came in contact with somebody. I do not know that for a fact. But I wanted to take every precaution I could because I'm going on vacation next week.
Sure. No, I think you did the right thing. You want to err on the side of safety. But look, you know, it's easy to say, well, it's an outdoor event. We can have dinner on the patio, or we're all going to be outside. And yet, this being Minnesota, late June, July, it rains a fair amount.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those outdoor activities wind up being indoor activities.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. That's something none of us think of, a plan B, a plan C.
Right.
But, you know, Fauci had bad news. He had a little bit of good news, too. He did hold out some hope about a vaccine, but not until maybe early next year. Here's what Anthony Fauci had to say about the vaccine.
There's no guarantee that we will have a safe and effective vaccine, but we are cautiously optimistic, looking at animal data and the early preliminary data, that we will at least know the extent of efficacy sometime in the winter and early part of next year. Again, working with the companies and the investment made by this Congress, hopefully there will be doses available by the beginning of next year. These are the things that we feel aspirationally hopeful about, and we will continue to pursue this.
You know, I listened to Fauci, and I want to gargle. I mean, his voice is hoarse. I think it's from all the interviews that he
probably
does. I mean, from like 5 in the morning till midnight, he's giving interviews. So, and he's what, 79 years old? Anyway, he did
he's
say
got energy
that
for days, though.
Well, he's a runner, and he still runs. Mm-hmm. Look, what's happening in Arizona and Texas and California is concerning. Cases are rising in 36 states. Hospitalizations, Jor, are rising in 12 states. 17 states have put their reopening plans on pause. Arizona's Republican Governor Doug Ducey has shut down bars, theaters, gyms, water parks. He is imploring residents to use face masks. Texas, Florida, California backtracking, closing beaches and bars. And what's interesting, one of the cities that is implementing a face covering order, it's not optional, is Jacksonville, Florida, where the president plans to accept the Republican nomination in August. So wondering if the president will wear a mask.
I'm not. He won't.
Well, I'm holding out hope. I think he could save a lot of lives by putting a mask on and actually listening to Anthony Fauci.
Yep. But I agree with you. Someday, in our perfect world, in our little bubble, Paul.
In our next life, which will be better.
But again, we can all do better. I was guilty. I did the wrong thing this weekend. You know, I have a lot of guilt about that. And I'll keep you guys posted on the COVID test, which I will post, by the way. I'll post it on the Insta, okay?
But you did not embrace any strangers this time, right? No.
Not
okay,
there was no
good
swapping spit. No.
That's good. That's good. No necking. All right. When we come back, Tim Lammers.
I am Lars. This is Sigrid. We are Fire Saga.
Who wants to hear a Eurovision song?
All of Iceland thinks we are a joke.
That's not true.
And my father is ashamed of me.
No, he's not.
He looked me into the eyes and said, I am ashamed of you.
Maybe he was drunk.
He said, and you might think that I'm drunk, but I am dead sober.
That's good.
I pray that that's not the only funny line in this movie, because there's so much potential. You know, it's Will Ferrell, it's Rachel McAdams, Jordana and Paul here, and Tim Lammers is joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. And thank you to Bradshaw and Bryant, Seeking Justice for the Injured, for bringing Tim to us twice a week. Tim, I hope it's good.
You know, the name of the movie is Eurovision Song Contest, the story of Fire Saga, which is this fictional Icelandic band consisting of Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams. And there really is a Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh,
1974, ABBA won it, and placing fourth place that year was Olivia Newton-John. So this contest has quite a history, and it's, you know, a musical acts from all over the world. Obviously, you know, they participate in this contest. Now, obviously, because Will Ferrell's in it, Rachel McAdams, Pierce Brosnan is Will Ferrell's father in this, and he's really good. To me, it felt like a Saturday Night Live skit that they were trying to stretch into 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's kind of like it's a funny idea, and there are some very funny points in it, and it all depends on your tolerance for slapstick. I don't mind it. I think it's funny, but my wife, it drives her crazy. I mean, just some people, it's just a different taste for different people. So, yeah, you do get some funny stuff out of it. It ends really strong, though, which I think is a plus for the film. I think what I like more than anything is the music is terrific. And you actually, I don't know if there's somebody else performing with her, but Rachel McAdams, if that is her voice, she has an incredible voice. Will Ferrell, you can tell, is Will Ferrell. But I think that's really the strong point of the movie, which is streaming on Netflix. It's an original Netflix movie.
All right. I'm watching it then because I love Will Ferrell. So
yeah, I mean, you know, it's to me, it's just okay. It's an okay movie. I think personally what I liked about it was, you know, they could have been horrible singers. And yeah, they have problems. They have issues. And this couple... they grew up, you know, together, and but they're not a couple. She wants to be a couple. He doesn't. He thinks it's going to get, you know, in the middle of the music, and it's going to mess up the chemistry. But you think they're going to make fun of these, you know, musicians, but the music is actually really good. And so I think that's what really saved the movie for me.
Well, I know Will Ferrell has had some clunkers and a few hits in recent years, but I admire any artist who gets out of their comfort zone and tries something a little bit
different.
Well,
and certainly, you know, some of his skits on Saturday Night Live, you know, he played, I forget what, it was him and Anna Gasteyer, I believe, and he was bald and he had a beard, and, you know, he was just really fun.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, this is definitely in his wheelhouse, and don't get me wrong,
right.
I really love Will Ferrell, and maybe that's part of the problem for me, is that you expect so much. And you're right, Paul. There are clunkers. There was this downhill movie I reviewed for you a couple months ago, which was just terrible. It was him and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. The thing with that, though, he got out of his comfort zone to try to be serious, and he just wasn't funny. I think his wheelhouse is comedy, and then, again, you add the music to this and the hijinks you get on stage and all that sort of stuff. And I think it works for the most part. I just want to manage your expectations here. Maybe you're going to think it's really funny, and if you do, that's wonderful.
Okay. I want to get to this next one, which I'm seeing a lot of trailers for this everywhere I turn. Amazon original movie, My Spy. Here's a clip.
The mission was to find out what they knew, but that's kind of difficult now that you killed everyone. I just don't think you're cut out for the intelligence. This is your last shot.
How's school going?
Oh my god, you have jelly all over your face.
I'm definitely posting that on Insta.
Is it too late to homeschool me?
Looks cute. I mean, right? It's cute.
It sounds good. Tim, are you giving this a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
You know what? A big thumbs up for this one.
Good.
I didn't know. Here you go again with expectations.
Oh,
I didn't expect a lot out of this. I thought, you know, we've seen this sort of thing with The Rock before, you know, the game plan, him and a young girl, and, you know, it's a precocious young girl. And in this case, you know, Dave Bautista plays a demoted CIA agent. And an analyst played by the always funny Kristen Schaal. You'll see her and you'll know Kristen when you see her. They're put on an assignment to surveil a woman and her 9-year-old daughter since the late husband of this woman and father, he was secretly an arms dealer. They didn't know about that, and his brother is looking for information. So the CIA is on the case, but this precocious young 9-year-old, played by a terrific young actor named Chloe Coleman, she finds out. But instead of turning them in, she says, you know what, I want you to teach me to be a spy. So all of a sudden, you have this very, very funny comedy between this girl who is, again, very talented. She steals the show. But Dave Bautista, he played Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy, where he was also, you know, very, very funny, but he also does the action thing really well. So you have a great cast in this movie. It's a movie with heart. I think that's the big thing. It's predictable, yeah, you know where the story is going, but it doesn't matter because it's so well done that not only, you know, parents and kids can watch it, I think just adults looking for a good action comedy are going to really like this movie.
Cool.
That's good news.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, this was one of those movies that was, it's an Amazon original because Amazon bought it. It was actually supposed to be in theaters in April. But, again, it was just put on the shelf because of COVID and theaters closing. So, you know, eventually, you know, studio studios need to make decisions, and some of them are selling their product to streaming services. And, you know, in this case, that's what happened here. It was with little fanfare, and it all of a sudden shows up. But you're right, Paul. They're pushing this one pretty hard. I mean, you pull up your Amazon app for streaming, it's one of those films that appears at the top of the queue. And,
yes, it does.
I hope it gets the attention. It's a really, really funny movie. It's a sweet movie, and I was completely surprised by it.
Tim, I'm appreciating that review because I am watching it with the kids this weekend. And, Tim, thank you. We have to run, but Tim's movie reviews are always brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, Seeking Justice for the Injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
And when we come back, and thank you, Tim. Thank you for the suggestions. When we come back, we hear a lot about parity and equity and when it comes to people of color. What is it going to take to achieve real racial equity? I came across an op-ed from a retired Hennepin County judge that made me think twice. He's coming up next.
I have a mantra for you today. I want you to practice whatever breathing exercise you like. It can be very simple, just in for three and out for three. Calm your body. Picture yourself relaxed in your mind. Be relaxed. Close your eyes if they're open. And when you breathe in, I want you to say in your mind, I breathe in peace and calm. And as you breathe out, I want you to say, I breathe out stress and tension. I breathe in peace and calm. I breathe out stress and tension. I breathe in peace and calm. I breathe out stress and tension. I want you to continue this for the next rest of your life as we continue the show. In peace and calm, out stress and tension. I wish that for you.
Thank you, Jor. Thank you. I appreciate that. We all appreciate that.
We need it. Mm-hmm.
God, yes, more than ever. So, not to belabor the issue, I'm on my seventh business, and I like to think of myself as self-made. I have not inherited a dime, but it has dawned on me in recent weeks that I had an advantage. I had a head start that I wasn't even aware of. We love to talk about living in a merit-based world, right? If you work hard, you can get ahead. If you work hard and follow the rules, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and make yourself successful. The problem, and it's dawned on me, I think it's dawning on a lot of other people whose skin is white, is that we aren't all clustered at the same starting line. Some of us have had a head start without even realizing that we've had a head start. Joining us, the recently retired Hennepin County Judge Bruce Peterson, who had a really thoughtful op-ed in the Star Tribune recently, which made me think different about my success and how lucky I have been by nature of something I had no control over, and that is the color of my skin at birth. Judge Peterson, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you for writing this op-ed. You bring up things that I've never heard before. Social capital, I've heard. I've never heard character capital. What do you mean by that?
You know, Paul, I have to just slide in a similar realization that I had to you is my family is I always thought was a model of self-reliance. Both my grandfathers came here from Sweden without any money, couldn't speak English, but they did not have racial barriers, and they started small businesses, and therefore we didn't know people in high places in my family, but we knew people in places, and my father was able to make a call every summer to friends of his in the construction business, or he knew some people in the park department, and get me summer jobs that paid my way through college, and that's an advantage I have that I didn't think about for a long time until recent events.
Wow.
So a cultural capital, what I mean is the stable, nurturing upbringing that enables children to develop the set of emotional and mental capacities of self-control and self-confidence and to overcome adversity, to plan for the future, that enabled them to be hopeful and self-confident about the future. And that's a resource just like financial capital or social capital that everybody doesn't get.
So how does one get it then? And why are some communities deficient? And how can – I know this is a three-part question there. Bruce, it's Jordana, by the way. Thank you, Judge, for joining
Hi,
us.
Jordana.
Then how did you come about realizing that some communities don't get it, or some families and kids don't have that kind of capital? And how can we change it?
Well, this is extensively researched, Jordana. There's a set of studies that have been done all over the country. They started out in California in the 90s with the Centers for Disease Control and Kaiser Permanente, called the ACEs studies, Adverse Childhood Experiences. And they've since been replicated in most of the states, including Minnesota. And it's a very simple scale of adverse experiences like abuse or neglect, or presence in the household of drug abuse or mental illness, and children get a score. And the fact of the matter is that black children, by and large, have higher scores than white children, although, frankly, the big difference is low-income children have substantially higher scores than other children. And, of course, when I say low-income, I mean like under $15,000 a year. And, of course, that population is overrepresented with African-Americans also. And, of course, you know, growing up in a nurturing, safe environment, it's a whole community effort. And when you hear the stories about the fear that black families have lived in regarding police, that's another element of stress, toxic stress that affects children's brain development and makes it difficult for them to develop the character capital to succeed in our society.
So, Judge, it's not just raw IQ or networking ability. It really is access to resources, but it's also having the confidence, right, to be able to take the next steps. And so many people of color don't have access to those things, something that perhaps, you know, a white Minnesotan would take for granted. A black Minnesotan can't.
Is feeling safe, feeling secure, feeling among a supportive adult who you can trust, feeling that the world has opportunities for you, that people care about you. And I think the environment for black children is different from white children. And there's a lot we can do about it. That's the important thing. And I cited some examples from this lovely book, The Nurture Effect, by Dr. Anthony Biglin. There's wonderful examples. You know, one that came to me, Paul, we've been reminiscing about our childhoods here. My father had a very difficult family background. His mother was essentially a drug addict and mentally ill in the 1920s and wasn't a parent. But he had a Boy Scout troop that he said saved his life. There were other adults in his life for years that helped him and supported him and nurtured him. So the environment a child lives in is parents, yes, but it's also teachers and coaches and church groups and the sort of things that many white families take for granted that isn't always available in the same way to black families.
And Judge, in your article, and by the way, I encourage everybody to read it. It's in the opinion. It's called Counterpoint. Change for African Americans is about more than sheer will. You talk about that idea of bootstrapping it. You know, you hear this argument all the time. Oh, well, why can't they just pick themselves up by their bootstraps? I want you to share what you wrote in the article about why that is just a complete misconception.
Well, the reason my article is called a counterpoint is I was responding to an article by Peter Bell and Mitch Perlstein, who are well-recognized public figures and have done a lot for this community. In fact, they contacted me. They want to have coffee tomorrow and talk about our respective views. So they're those kind of people.
Wow.
But I thought
Great.
They presented a picture that was overly simplistic, that the reason that there are these persistent racial inequities in our society, and in the Twin Cities in particular, we know they're especially bad in the Twin Cities. is because of cultural and behavioral issues within the black community. And they pointed out some of the, you know, the typical things people seize upon. Black kids don't care about school enough. They watch too much television. Black people commit too many crimes. They get married too soon, and they have children too soon without being married. In my view, those things are effects of unequal situations rather than the causes, and that we see those things when people are growing up in a situation where they don't have the resources, either financial resources or the networking resources or the character resources to accomplish things for themselves. So the purpose of my article was to say blaming the black community for their failures is not helpful. What's helpful is for us to say there are things we can do, and I pointed it out in the article, a reference in particular this book, which I recommend for everybody, The Nurture Effect by Anthony Biglin. There's simple things we can do. He talks about one of the most studied programs in the country in this area. It's called the Nurse Family Partnership. It was done in Rochester, New York. It's been extensively researched. It involves a warm, supportive, caring nurse visiting young, poor, pregnant women during their pregnancies, visiting with them, not just health issues, but mental health issues and mentoring issues, their goals, their values, staying with them for the first 2 years when the child is born, helping them understand the challenges of mothering, often alone. A child cries, that's a normal thing. There's things you can do. You don't need to feel hopeless. The results of this kind of intervention, relatively simple, are just astounding. They followed some of these families for many years. The children do better. The mothers are better adjusted. They put off having a second child longer, which, you know, shows some different planning for the future. And one of the statistics was this group, by age 15, the group of poor young mothers they were studying, without this intervention, 35% of those young people had an arrest before age 15. That was cut in half by this simple intervention. So, you know, I talked about Boy Scouts and coaches and schools, and there's lots we can do to help improve the nurturing environment for black children, and I think better policing is part of it.
Wow, you've given us a lot to digest and unpack,
yes.
But we sure
yes.
appreciate your perspective and for writing this op-ed and challenging all of us to do better and to think differently mm-hmm. about this. You know, if you're self-made and you're successful, get down on your knees and thank God. Mm-hmm. But maybe you had a head start, and you helped me to realize that, Judge. So thank you, and we wish you the very best, and have a great summer, sir.
Well, thank you, Paul. Do you think you could do something about this weather today?
That's going to cost extra.
Yeah. No. Thank you, guys.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Judge.
We're actually going to talk a little bit more about this because there is a gentleman in our community who is helping give people that social capital, that not just social capital, but actual capital to stand on. Ravi Norman is the CEO of a holding company, and he started Hood Starter. It's a platform to accelerate innovation for young entrepreneurs. We're going to talk with Ravi Norman next. 3:48, Paul and Jordana, David Josephson at the helm. And for those of you that didn't know, any day now, David Josephson could be a father of two. He is currently a father of one. Any moment now, we could get the call that the Queen Katrina is in labor, and then Paul, you and I are on our own.
What does she do? DJ, what does she do?
Yeah.
Any minute.
Yeah, it's we're 2 weeks out from our due date.
Yeah.
So
just a heads up, Paul.
Yeah, it's really any day at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one of you is going to drive to the studio here to push all the buttons if I have to leave?
God help us.
Chris Tubbs. Anyway, let's get back to our guest. So excited to chat with our next guest. Ravi Norman is the CEO of NGE, which is a holding company. And yes, we're going to talk about that in a moment. But he is also the creator of Hood Starter. Hood Starter. Yes, similar to Kickstarter, but cooler. A platform to accelerate innovation with your audience. Ravi is joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline to talk about it. Ravi Norman, welcome to the program.
Hey, Ravi.
Hello, how are you?
You know, we're great. Well. I'm excited about this. My girlfriend, Miguel McMorris, said, Jor, you got to talk to Ravi. You got to hear about Hoodstarter. So tell us about Hoodstarter. What is it? What do you do?
Absolutely. So Hoodstarter is a digital crowdsourcing platform that myself and a few partners bought an interest in 2018. It was actually founded by three local entrepreneurs in 2015, and it was actually founded to give a voice to the community in the real estate development process. Far too often, developers already have their ideas baked and are just looking for the community to sign off in a bit of a check on the process. And what we did is that organization came forward to say, this is an opportunity for the community to weigh in on what they think their needs are, what they think the best real estate use would be, and to be able to impact the way real estate developers go about designing and ultimately building solutions for the community. And I thought that was great, as did some of my partners. So we continue to have that as an option in real estate master planning. But we also created a Hoodstarter 2.0, where we could take that same crowdsourcing opportunity for all types of topics, whether it be on policy and policy reform, programs, entrepreneurial opportunities, or any other topic that a community can engage in. They not only can engage in it, but they can get educated on some key relevant facts and historical pieces at their own speed, because it's a 24/7 access site. They can do real-time voting, which allows for a more democratized process for input and saying what are the best recommendations. And then it can be flowed all the way from ideation through implementation and track. So we think it's a great place to actually connect individuals and organizations who are really want to accelerate their interaction and innovation to produce better outcomes.
Ravi, this is Paul, by the way, and it's so glad you're joining us today. I like to say, and it's the truth, I don't have the answer key. No one person can have the answer key, but collectively, you get people together, and collectively you can find the answer key, usually, but it requires collaboration. So it sounds like your platform is spot on. Can you give us a few examples of how this incubator has created better policy or maybe launched a few new businesses?
Well, what we can tell you is we have a energy company that has used our platform, and you know, they were, as an internal company, just trying to figure out some, if they could find some new offerings to their customers. And ultimately, we were able to help them engage their employees and trusted partners in an innovation process around utility management and sustainability practices that I know they're rolling out to some of their large Fortune 500 companies. We were able to help a major real estate developer in town to effectively use the tool to engage in a really a community engagement process that had a really complexity to it. And we were able to help them remove barriers to participation while improving the retention of key feasibility factors and providing a transparent process for adopted principles and uses of place and space. And then finally, the Minneapolis Regional Chamber just launched a Too Local to Fail campaign in response to the COVID pandemic and is using our Hoodstarter platform to communicate with thousands of small to medium-sized businesses, ensuring access to constant source of key facts and figures while giving them a place to have a voice to stay connected and receive important support mechanisms.
Wow.
Okay.
Ravi, let's go back to how this originated. You, at least from what I understand, and again, I'm not that bright, so I'll try to keep up. But it is my understanding that you were asking real estate developers to look to the community to give the, so the community could have input on what kind of real estate they wanted developed, how it would best suit, you know, communities of color and diverse communities. So could this be a model? I'm going out on a limb here now, for policing in communities of color that are clearly unhappy with the way it's currently being done?
Absolutely. In the same way that you wanted to activate community input to thinking about real estate use, we could use this platform of Hoodstarter for any community to ultimately be able to engage and have their voice heard around any topic, including police reform and criminal justice reform, as well as any other kind of practices around trying to get at some of the exclusive economic practices that have created persistence, inequities, and gaps in our region.
Ravi, there's no shortage of good ideas out there. What would you recommend for somebody listening right now who really wants to jump on this? And who are the best candidates for taking an idea forward? What would you recommend? How can they reach you?
You can reach us at www.hoodstarter.com. You can also reach me personally, Robbie@NGEholdings.com. That's N as in Nancy, G as in George, E as in Edward, holdings.com. Please go to our website. You can actually sign into the website. There's opportunities to participate as a direct licensee, which happens with private businesses, municipalities, nonprofit organizations. You can also participate through existing licensees who are looking for customers to participate in active campaigns that are already going.
Okay.
Ravi, we got about 3 minutes left. I understand you have two other businesses. One is a holding company. Can you share with us about that?
Absolutely. Our other two businesses, one is JIT Energy Services, which is a utility management firm. We acquired them in 2018, but they've been around since 1995, and they actually provide actual data usage on energy and water for over 6,000 facilities in the United States, and ultimately to drive both increased competencies and cost savings for our customers, and to ultimately impact the four C's in the built environment: cost, climate, comfort, and connectivity. We do all of the utility bill processing for General Mills and Medtronic, Google's offices, Toyota, Deluxe, Dominion, Patterson Companies, and CBRE clients, just to name a few. In addition, we have a company called Cosmic Nova, which is a strategic consulting and coaching firm that specializes in accelerating equity and innovation for transformational outcomes. It's a very simple equation. We think equity plus innovation equals transformation, and we're doing it to ultimately yield fulfilled living, trusted relationships, successful organizations, and thriving communities.
Ravi, when do you sleep?
Yeah.
You know, I must say, Paul, you know, I've been married for 25 years. I have three children. My oldest just graduated from the University of Pennsylvania and just started at U.S. Bank here.
Congrats.
And,
that's awesome.
I have a junior son and a 9-year-old daughter. So between all of those things and my professional life, I really don't have that much time to sleep. But I make sure I get just enough to try to stay healthy.
Good for you,
but
man.
What Ravi is doing is creating that kind of capital, and I don't know if you heard our last segment, but creating the kind of capital that people need to stand on. You know, bootstraps is bullcrap. We need a platform for people to put their boots on and get started, and that's what Ravi is doing with Hoodstarter and his other corporations. Ravi, we got maybe 30 seconds left. Anything else you want to throw in?
No, thank you very much for having me. And I would just say that I'd love to also at some point come and talk to you about the Minnesota Social Compact that we're doing with a bunch of the Fortune 500 companies in town and a cross-section of Black faith leaders, legacy nonprofits, and business owners to get at some of these systemic issues that have been plaguing our community.
Wow. We will have that conversation. What we need, Jor, is mentors. And I can't think of a better mentor than Ravi Norman. So we sure appreciate him joining us.
Thank you, Robbie.
When we come back, if you want to go to Europe this summer, you're out of luck. A lot of people welcome, just not Americans. That story next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.